May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 315. Righteous are the works of God, all his ways are holy, just his judgments fit his rod to correct our folly. 315.
Thank you. Lord would be pleased to help me, I would like us to read together from the book of Romans and chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, whom walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelt in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him so freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that judgeth, justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. May you be helped to continue in prayer. Most kind and ever merciful and most holy and gracious Lord God, our Father which is in heaven, we do thank thee for this and of the privilege to gather in thy house. We do thank thee, Lord, for this day set apart where we can come and worship thee. And we do ask, Lord, that as we have gathered with the brethren, that thou wilt come and meet with us if it could please thee. We do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not dealt with us as we deserve, that in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We do thank thee that thou hast enabled us to gather here, given us the health and the strength and that desire to come. For we know, Lord, left to ourselves, that we would not be here. We know, Lord, that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and they have no desire to worship thee. And we do thank thee, Lord, that it is of thy grace that we are what we are. We do thank thee, Lord, that we are able to gather here in peace and in safety, with none daring to make us afraid. And we do pray, Lord, that thou continue to lengthen out thy kindness to us if it could please thee. We do ask, Lord, that thou continue to go before us in the way, to provide the things which we have need of. And we would ask, as we gather here this day, we've presented our bodies as those living sacrifices before thee, which is our reasonable service, that thou rend the heavens and come down if it could please thee. Thou knowest, Lord, our hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, that they stand open before Thee. Thou knowest how Thy people have come this day. Those that have gathered round us, they're on their knees. Those, Lord, that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those that have been shown their need of a Saviour. We do pray, Lord, that Thou come down from heaven, Thy dwelling place, and dwell amongst us this day, if it could please Thee. That the hearts might be met, that their needs might be met. The different cases that are laid before Thee this day might have a word in season, if it could please Thee. For we know, Lord, that we have nowhere else to fly but unto Thy throne of grace. And we do thank Thee that Thou dost stand between the great God of heaven in garments dyed in blood. We do thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost intercede for Thy people and send down those answers of peace. And we do pray then that Thou hear and answer the prayers of the people, that Thou wilt move amongst us this day. Those, Lord, that have come out of mere tradition, we pray that their eyes might be opened, that their ears might be unstopped to the sound of the gospel, that they might lay aside the mere tradition of religion and might hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they might be proved to be those heirs of the kingdom of God. We do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come. Or what is the house to us if Thou art not here? It is nothing. We would remember each one that has come. We do thank Thee, Lord, that in this day of temptation, this day of natural falling away, we do thank Thee, Lord, that there is found a number, that remnant who desires to worship Thee. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them if it could please Thee. And knowest their pathways. And knowest, Lord, the young people who have gathered here with us this day. We do thank Thee, Lord, for them. We do pray that Thou continue to go before them in their lives. May they be called by grace early if it could please Thee. May it be proved, Lord, that they have been born again. That they might be raised up to be the pillars in the house of God. We ask that they might be kept as they go to school. Do watch over them and protect them. Do enable them to decipher what is right and wrong. And we would ask, Lord, that Thou help us as parents and grandparents to raise them in Thy fear. To give us the ability to answer their questions. To give us the ability to teach them in the way that they will have them to go. And we ask, Lord, that Thou bless them in their lives. We do thank Thee for the news of the birth of the baby. That is found here, we believe, this day. We do ask, Lord, that Thou be with the family. Do bless them and give them that heart of praise and thanksgiving for Thy wondrous gift. And we do thank Thee, Lord, that they are a true gift from God. For we know, Lord, that we cannot breathe life into them ourselves. But we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost stoop down and breathe life into our children. And we do pray, Lord, that as Thou hast born him into this world, that Thou keep him as the apple of Thine eye. Do raise him up to be a pillar in the house of God, if it could please Thee. And do bless them as a family. We do ask, Lord, that Thou continue to go before this church. You continue to provide for them the things that they have need of. We would ask, Lord, that Thou help them in their labours week by week. We do remember those who go to college and university also. And knowest the different trials and the different temptations which are found there. And knowest how these things draw our hearts away from Thee. And do we ask, Lord, that Thou help the young people especially, as they are away from their parents, to give them that ability to say no and to come out from the crowd. And we ask, Lord, that Thou provide for them those God-given husbands and God-given wives. They also might know that true privilege of raising children. We would then remember those who go to work day by day and know the different responsibilities which this brings. We would ask, Lord, that Thou provide for the families here. Provide them with the things that they have need of. For thou hast said, we are as much more value than many sparrows. And then we ask, Lord, then that thou provide the things of time for us also. We remember those who are sick and afflicted at this time. We ask, Lord, that thou sanctify these things to them, that they might truly know that thou art walking with them in the valley. But we would pray, Lord, that they might see that end coming soon, if it could please thee, that thy healing hand might lay upon them, if it could please thee, that something might be done for thy honour and thy glory. May they see, even today, may that their pain be subdued, and they might be able to worship thee at thy house this day. Remember the older generation also. Do pray, Lord, that thou be with them. Those that maybe are fearing at their end, as they can see the day approaching. We do pray, Lord, that thou be with them. Do give them that hope, that reassurance that they are amongst thy people, that they might realise that their sins, which are so many, have been washed away. That bring them into that real knowledge of the truth, and that they might see that preciousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that thou give us each that desire, that hungering and that thirsting, that seeking after those things which are of eternity. Thou help us not to lay up those treasures upon earth, but that we might be enabled to lay up those treasures in heaven, where thieves cannot break in and steal. We do ask, Lord, that these things do not come naturally to us, and how we cleave to the things of time. But we pray, Lord, that thou help us. Help us to walk on that narrow way which leads to life, and maybe not be drawn aside by the things of this earth here below, but help us to lay aside every sin and every weight, and keep us looking up to thee. And when we sink, Lord, we do pray that thou stretch forth thine hand. Stretch forth thine hand and lift us up if it could please thee. May we often know those looks of love towards us, although we are often drawn aside to the things of this life. But we pray, Lord, that thou help us. Keep us looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We do ask, Lord, that thou be with those who take the Sunday school. We remember the children once more, to be with them as they seek to learn and to understand thy word. May that seed be planted in their hearts early in life. Do help the Sunday school teachers, do bless them and give them that encouragement in their work, the sacrifice which they are labouring under. We ask that they might be given that ability to break down thy word small, if it could please thee. We do pray that thou art add into that Sunday school, if it could please thee. We no doubt think of the children in the surrounding areas. And knowest, Lord, how they are outwardly lost. But we would pray that they might be constrained to come in, if it could please thee. We remember those who live around this area. May they also be constrained by the power of thy Holy Spirit to come in and worship thee here. May they hear something for the good of their never dying souls. May they truly come with that hunger and that thirsting, that real repentance over sin. We do ask, Lord, that there might be that building up again, if it could please thee. You remember those who have rule over us, those who have no concern for their souls whatsoever. We do pray, Lord, that thou work within their hearts. Do turn them again unto thee, if it could please thee. That the laws of this land might not be an abomination to thy eyes, but may thou hear the sighs and the cries of those which do cry for the abominations that are done in our land. We ask, Lord, that there might be that turning again. For thou hast said, the thing that is too hard for thee, do bring it unto me. And we lay before thee our nation. We ask, Lord, that in thy wrath thou wilt remember mercy. For we know that it is too hard for us, impossible for us. But thou hast said that thou wilt be inquired of. And we inquire to the great God of heaven, to have mercy upon our land if it could please thee, that thou wilt pour out thy blessing, that there might be a revival once more if it could please thee, that something, that all might be done for thy honour and for thy glory. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We think of those who have been constrained to put thee on in that open way at Heathfield. And we would ask, Lord, that thou be with them this day. May they be encouraged to enable them to press on. And we would ask, Lord, that thou be with thy servant who is due to take that service also. Remember those who mourn at this time. We ask, Lord, that thou draw near to them, to put thy loving arms round about them and comfort them, with a sweet token of thy love, if it could please thee. We would remember any who have come seeking to know thee this day. Do pray, Lord, that they might have that token for good, that they might be proved to be those sons and those daughters, that their name might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For thou hast never sent anyone empty away. For thou hast bid them, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. We do pray then, Lord, that thou continue to constrain them at the throne of grace, if it can please thee. We do remember those of thy servants who seek to run this place. We ask, Lord, that thou be with them. Do help them in their need. Do provide for them the things that they have need of. We would pray, Lord, that they might continually see those divine appointments of thy servants who come week by week. May they see that fruit for their labours, if it could please thee. May they see others being constrained to put thee on in that open way. We would ask, Lord, which I'm sure they desire, a pastor, after a man after thine own heart, to minister unto them, to teach them in the things that thou have them to go. We would ask, Lord, that thou hear and answer their cries, if it could please thee. Once again we come to speak in thy most holy name. Again, Lord, completely dependent upon thee for all needed help. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word says that thy strength is made perfect in weakness. We have no strength of our own. We come leaning completely dependently upon thee for all needed help. For thou hast put an ignorant and an unlearned man in the pulpit. We would pray, Lord, that we might go away from this place knowing that we have been with Jesus. That thou wilt pour in, that we might be able to pour out. That thou wilt enable me, as thou hast promised, to open my mouth wide, and thou wilt fill it. Do fill it, Lord, with words which will be good for our never dying soul. Do fill it, Lord, with manna from heaven, if it could please thee. That it might sustain us through this life. And for eternity also, if it could please thee. We acknowledge our sin and our iniquity. Our sins are ever before thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou keep us from the love of sinning. Do wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. 1108.
Thank you.
The Lord would be pleased to help me and to give me every word to speak to you this morning. I want to draw your attention to the chapter that we read together, the book of Romans, and chapter 8. And the text you'll find in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we were killed all the day long, for we were accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the question, and we have the answer. Who shall separate us? Nothing. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. This word separation means something that has been joined together can only be separated. Those that have been joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, have put their trust in him for their salvation, can never be separated from that covenant which was written before the foundation of the earth. We have to go back. What drew us to this Christ? What enabled us to be joined together with him? We were once separated from him. We were once strangers. We were drawn nigh by the blood of the Lamb. So in our congregation today, we have those who are joined with Christ. And we have those that are separate. Those that are on that narrow way which leads to life, and those that are on the broad road to which leads to destruction. We cannot be in the middle. We are either joined or we are separate. Right at the beginning of the Bible, and God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He created man in his own image, for his own honour and for his own glory. And there was a union one with another. God was able to walk with Adam in the garden. But sin entered. And what did sin do? Sin separated man from God. They were cast out of the garden. God told Adam that if he ate of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, he would surely die. One command he was given. He had authority over the whole garden. God gave him one law. And him and his wife, they disobeyed God. And sin entered. It shows a deceitfulness of our own hearts, that we cannot keep God's law. Not even one. We're tempted, we're drawn aside, we're utterly lost, we're separated from God. But God in his mercy didn't strike Adam and Eve down straight away. They were sent out of the garden to till the land, to bring forth food of their own. But if we look at in the garden, there was the first death. Something had to die. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no pardon of sin. God made Adam and Eve coats of skins. In the Garden of Eden, there was perfection. There was no death. But when sin entered, death came. Adam and Eve were brought into the consequences of their sin. As the animal was slain. No doubt God had to slay the animal for enable him to get the skins from them. And Adam and Eve there saw their first sight of blood. There they saw their first sight of death. There the first covering of sin was made. Their own works of righteousness were of no effect. And nor is yours. And nor is mine. Our own works of righteousness are as filthy rags before God. They are like those leaves which they sewed together, useless. But God in his mercy made a way to enable sinners to come to be drawn nigh by the blood of the Lamb. We see it through the whole of the Old Testament. That sacrifice for sin and uncleanness. That without that high priest was enabled to go into the Holy of Holies, he was not allowed to go in without blood. Something had to die. We see it, we turn over a few pages. We have Cain and Abel. Cain offered up a sacrifice that was displeasing to God. It was of the fruit of the land. But Abel, he brought blood. He brought the firstborn of his flock. And this was acceptable unto God. It was not his own work. It was a commandment which God had said. Something must die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. As Cain slew his brother, we read that God heard his blood. His blood has cried out to me. His blood crieth unto me from the ground. It's life. The blood that is within us is life. The blood that was shed upon a Calvary was life. It made us united with God. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, there was a shedding of blood. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses where you shall eat it. And they shall eat it, the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We all know the very well-known story of how the angel of death went over the land of Egypt and slew the firstborn of every person and creature. But when the blood was seen, the angel passed over. Death had already been dealt with in that house. The lamb had died instead of the people. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Your works of righteousness are as filthy rags before me. It is only underneath the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, underneath that blood that was shed upon Calvary, can there be that protection? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We were once strangers to him. Maybe we still are. We once saw no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it anything to you, or ye that pass by? You come to chapel week by week. The ministers preach to you the gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is it anything to you, all ye that pass by? You pass by Sunday by Sunday. You're walking in separation from this covenant which God did. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish from what? Perish from eternal separation from God. Perish from eternal damnation. Eternal hell. We are saved by the love of God. From eternal torment. Whilst we are here below, we have God's blessing upon us. We are sitting under the covenant of grace. We are sitting under a promise of common grace, which God gave to Noah, that there will be that seed time and harvest, the summer and the winter. But in hell, there will be nothing. In hell, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternity to remember the times when you turned your back upon this Christ. To remember the times when you passed by. To remember the times when, through the hardness of your heart, through the love of pleasure and the things of this life, the gospel had no effect upon you. The sower sowed the seed, and some fell upon good ground. Ground that had been ploughed up by prayer. Ground that hungered and thirsted after righteousness. And this living water flowed in and it brought forth fruit to the honour and glory of God. But some fell upon hard ground. Hard hearts. The devil comes and snatches it away when you go out of the door. You get caught up with the things of this life on a Monday. And it's choked. See, the word, if it is a faithful ministry, goes forward. The problem, we might say, is the hardness of your heart. That parable sets before us four types of heart. Some bring up fruit quickly, but when times of trouble and times of persecution come, they flee. But some take root. They're founded upon the rock Christ Jesus. And none shall separate them are from this love. Why is it we find an attraction in this Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, as our reading tells us, we were predestinated. We were chosen before the foundation of the earth. We were drawn to Him. We were shown what we are by nature. Our eyes were turned within and we saw great abominations. We saw the hardness of our hearts. We were drawn to Him. You will never find anything beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ if you've never had your eyes opened. You will be like those of old, despised and rejected of men. There is no beauty that we should desire Him. But we are drawn. We are drawn by this undeserved love. The love of grace. Nothing that we have done. But through God's mercy, we've been entered into a covenant that cannot be broken. A covenant sealed with blood. If you would think of two pieces of wood that are nailed together, they can be pulled apart. Sometimes it takes longer, but it can always be pulled apart. But this covenant which God made, this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a covenant that cannot be broken. Sinners are made one with Christ. They are no more aliens, foreigners, strangers. They are made sons and daughters. They are adopted into this family of grace. They are sealed by blood. Naturally, a son will always be a son. No matter what they do, no matter how far they go out into the world, they will always be your son and your daughter. You will always be their mother and their father. It can never be separated, only by death. This is the union which Christ speaks of with those that have been brought by His blood. We think of the prayer which He prayed in the Gospel according to John. Before He went to the cross at Calvary. We know that prayer is spirit indicted, real prayer. Real prayer is spirit indicted. It means that God has drawn it out of us. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed before He went to the cross. And He prayed for His disciples. And He prayed for those also whom the Lord would call. Those also whom He was going to die upon the cross at Calvary for. That they may be one. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou hast given Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. We know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here was Christ unburdening His heart to His Father which is in heaven. And He was praying for those who He was going to die for upon the cross at Calvary, that they might be one. Although they have spat in His face, although they are sinners, vile indeed, They cannot live a day without sin. Such was the love of Christ to sinners, that he was wanted them to be one with him, heirs of the kingdom of God, sons and daughters. It is described as a union, as a marriage, that Christ, the bridegroom, and we are his bride, a covenant which cannot be broken. Marriage consummated cannot be broken, no matter what the members of Parliament say. Marriage is between a man and a woman. God has ordained it so from the foundation of the earth. And it is a union that cannot be broken except by death. And it is a term in which Christ teaches us about his church, that we cannot be separated from the love of Christ. And then we have a list: tribulation or distress, persecution, famine or nakedness, peril or sword. Now, in thinking of this, these things should naturally make us flee from being Christians, make us flee from following after Christ. But they hated me, so they will hate you. They dealt with Christ in such a way as to nail him to the cross. And they will also deal with us also. Tribulation or distress. It is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. The narrow way which leads to life is through much tribulation. But what does this tribulation do to a real child of God? As we said, the mere professor of religion who has the seed land in his heart and it springs up very quickly and everything seems to be fine. When the trouble comes, the persecution comes, he goes. His religion fades away and he becomes nothing. It's proved that he is an infidel, that he has no real union with Christ. But the real blood-bought child of God, who has a real grounding in the truth, who has roots which bear down into that good ground. The tribulation, where does it make them flee? Do they run? No. They cleave. They get drawn closer and closer to their Lord and Saviour. Distress, it drives them to the throne of grace. Famine. David said he had never seen the Lord's people begging bread. The Lord will provide the things that we have need of. The things that should separate us from Christ. Draw us closer and closer to him. But what makes us draw aside? God, we know, is the same yesterday, today and forever. But we are changeable. Every day we might wake up with good intentions to live a good life. But no sooner as we've climbed out of bed, we fail. Our thoughts are drawn aside. Our eyes go after things that they shouldn't. But we're kept by the power of God. We cannot save ourselves. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. In my meditation on this, I was reminded of an instant in my own life. A time when I was not long called by grace. And I was driving down the road and down the end of the road, I saw a girl walking. And I thought to myself in my heart, I am not going to look at this girl. So I drove by in my van, I looked. And immediately those words came, myself, I cannot keep. Myself, I cannot save. No matter what we do, no matter how good and perfect we try and live our lives, we're still a mass of sin and iniquity. We need to be kept by the power of God. And this is why young people, really, a woman, the Bible tells us, should dress in a modest way. Not to draw attention to herself, not to reveal the parts of her body which she shouldn't. Because men are weak. Whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her, he has committed adultery with her in his own heart. But a woman, she must not dress to entice men. She must dress as a woman professing godliness. You don't want to draw people away from the Lord and Saviour. You don't want to cause them to wander off, to be led like a lamb to the slaughter. But we need to be kept by the power of God. We cannot be totally separated from this union, but we can drift off by our own sins and our own iniquities. You think of David. David drawn aside by one look. Look at the manner of sin which that one look took place. Lies, murder, adultery. And yet he was not separated from the love of God. But he had to go through, because of that sin, great trouble, great difficulty. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And we do fear the calms. We fear when God, when we drift off. We wait for the chastening. We look at Peter, who denied the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ with oaths and with curses, not once but three times. That look, it broke him. Such was his love to the Lord Jesus, such how he felt his failings, that he broke him. And he ran away and wept. But go and tell my disciples and Peter, the one who had denied me, tell him that I go before you into Galilee, and there you shall see me. I've risen again. Thomas, doubting Thomas, I will not believe. Will not. Did the Lord Jesus cast him off? Reach hither thy hands. Put them in the holes. Thou of little faith. See, we can be drawn aside by our own sin. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The union cannot be broken. But you're either separate today from Christ, or you're abiding in this union. You're either on the narrow way which leads to life, or you're on the broad road which leads to destruction. You're either a sheep, or you're either a goat. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks. Amen. Thank you.
God willing, Mr. Gudgeon hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And tomorrow we hold our anniversary services, when Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Needy Cases Fund. And Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a church meeting on Monday, the 12th of May. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls, the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. 766.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father with the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Amen.